Ben Jacobs here on Talk Sport, and we have a beautiful coffee table book in front of us. It's called The Culture of Kits, a definitive guide to classic football shirt collecting. It's a lovely thing, great for your Christmas market if you're a fan of football shirts. Yeah, very nicely put together. John Blair is the author. Hello, John.
Afternoon.
Yeah, there's a lot of words in it too.
There is, yeah. It's just not pretty pictures.
Classic shirts.
Yeah, it has exploded, isn't it? Social media has played a part in that, I guess, but it has exploded, it seems, in recent years.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's become almost the height of fashion as a luxury item. Certainly some of the old designs from the 80s and 90s have resurfaced. They've been adopted by celebrities and musicians and really become much more prominent within society. And then COVID played a big part. Obviously, people were kind of locked down. They needed a hobby. They looked in the attic, found some old jerseys, started posting them on social media. And so that really helped drive up interest as well.
I was interested to see that you have a sort of price curve graph about collecting shirts, about how you can gain financially from them. I thought that was quite an interesting thing because you don't think of them as that sort of commodity.
Yeah, no, agreed. And I think for most collectors, they wouldn't go into it viewing it as an investment. It's more of a nostalgic piece. However, the thing that really prompted me to write the book, I was curious on why some of the shirts from the 90s went on to be worth hundreds, if not thousands of pounds, and that some others became almost close to worthless. And so I wanted to take a look at what are the factors that drive that. And then you've got to look at both the primary market, as I call it, when Adidas and Nike release the new shirts, what kind of trajectory do those shirts go on before they resurface, and then for the old shirts, what are the key components there? So, yeah, I've tried to add a financial element to the book as well that I don't think had been explored before.
A few of the listeners have been getting in touch. Quite a lot of them have said, I've got this shirt or that shirt signed by someone, but that's really not what we were discussing. It was the rarer shirts. Oh, this was an interesting one. You'll be able to tell me, John. Greg from London says, I've got the Yugoslavia shirt that they should have worn for Euro 92. I bought it for £7.50 from a local sports shop during the tournament because there was a feeling, obviously, it was dead stock. I mean, I would imagine that's quite collectible.
Yeah, definitely. Collectible, valuable. I mean, there's certain pockets of the market that I would say the shirt has to be kind of worn in a game. And so some of these one-off shirts that we never see, they don't have the same moments or nostalgia attached to them. And so then you don't tend to see the same price increase there. But something like that, yeah, certainly. I mean, that's going to be in the hundreds. So nice piece, Greg.
Is there one club or country that seem to have more collectible shirts than any other?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I mean, my personal view is I think Arsenal's back catalogue of the early 90s, those shirts tend to be really valuable. Got the bruised banana here behind me, the 93 shirt. But, you know, Holland 1988 is the one that really stands out. And for a number of reasons, that was the first shirt really where we saw intricate design within the kits. If you think prior to that, the shirts were fairly uniform. So you've got a design factor. They won Euro 88. You've got players like Marco van Basten. So there's a kind of trifecta there in terms of people are attaching a value to it. And so that's one that's kind of been probably tipping 1,000 just for the version you could have bought in the shop at the time for probably £15-20.
I was thinking about the cachet of a player or the team. I mean, you've got a San Marino shirt in the book. I mean, is that as valuable as a Brazilian shirt or does it not work like that?
Player association is a big part of it. So I cover that in the book as well. I mean, obviously, we've seen the greatest example of that recently with the Maradona match-worn shirt selling for £7 million a few years ago. But certainly for the retail shirts, I'm a big believer that you want to have a name set on the back of it. And the data that I looked at suggested that a player name on the back increases the value by about 40%. So if you think of the Zidanes and the Cantonas and, you know, Zolas and some of these other great players that we've seen over the last kind of 20, 30 years or so, their shirts are definitely more in demand than those without the print set.
What's a good way to get going? I mean, I suppose you can go along with classic football shirts, but there, you know, obviously there's a premium there. But is it sometimes trolling charity shops? Can they be a sort of gold mine?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a labour of love, isn't it? But yeah, charity shops. And certainly I think if you go abroad, that's an untapped market. So if you go to Europe and you still find some of these thrift stores, I'm based here in the US. And so there's a lot of eBay sellers that maybe don't realise what they've got. And so I can pick up a few bargains here and there. But yeah, you have to do the effort to find them.
Do you have a favourite shirt, an all-time favourite that you just love and value above everything else?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot, and I feel like I give a different answer every time, and so it does kind of change. I'm a big fan of the Serie A kits of the 90s. You know, Football Italia had a big influence on me and a generation of fans, and so anything from that era You know, there's one that I got hold of recently, but it was a European version of the Juventus 1999 away kit, Sony sponsor. And again, being a kid of the 90s, the cap, the sleeve, you know, was quite attractive for a generation of us. So I'd say that one at the moment, but it does, you know, it changes week to week.
Do you, I mean, there are two, sorry, Paul, there are yeah. two big, obviously, there's Nike and then there's Adidas and then there are lots of others. I mean, do you have, a favourite? Do you think one company produces better kits over the years than others?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at it on balance, I'd probably say Adidas. I think they've had more hits. If you think of the Snowflake shirt, Man United, the Bruised Banana, the Holland, you know, there's a lot there in terms of their back catalog. So I'd say they're probably the most prominent. But again, there's some companies out there doing great things. Macron are doing some good stuff in Italy at the moment. But again, you go back to the 90s, and particularly the Italy influence of Diadora and Lotto and some of these other smaller companies that have faded away a little bit, but certainly their shirts are classics as well.
Let me ask you that perennial question. Does size matter? I asked that because one of the listeners got in touch. He said, I've still got my Forest shirt when I was 8 years old after the European Cup win. Got the star and all. He said, it's been hung up in my loft for 20 years. Now, that's going to be a kid size. Does that have a bearing on what these shirts can be worth?
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but yeah, unfortunately it does. So obviously the resale market's going to be more the adult sizes, the medium, large, and XL. So that's really your kind of premium price point. But again, that's a nostalgic kit for that individual. And so can you put a price on it? He can hang it on the wall and kind of admire and enjoy it.
And for collectors that are just into collecting shirts, I mean, quite a few people have been in touch today saying they've got it signed by the whole team, signed by a particular player. If you're just into collecting shirts and less interested in the club specifically, can that devalue it?
Yeah, it can. I mean, there's an authentication element to that as well, isn't there? How do you know it's legit and it's accurate? And so that makes that area a little bit more murky. There are some companies out there that try and kind of provide that service, but yeah, if you can't tell which name is which, then it unfortunately will reduce the value of the shirt.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about fakes. I don't know if we're going to see Fiona Bruce investigating a sort of Maradona shirt that somebody claims they've got and they go on for fake or false.
When I was working at Chelsea, though, one of our guys who worked on the merchandising side went out to the Far East. I can't remember the country. And there was a stall there in a market that was making made-to-measure Chelsea shirts
really?
For people for a like fraction of no money. Made-to-measure. You'd go there and get measured up and they'd go... And they discovered...
A lot of the people that support Chelsea could do with the service, to be really honest.
They were using the same material, John, that was in the Umbro factory at the time, you know. So there's been a pretty sophisticated counterfeiting operation over the years, hasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a minefield. If you go back to the 90s, I always say you knew what you were getting with a fake. If you're in Spain or Italy, the quality wasn't great. There was 5 Adidas stripes down the sleeve. It was pretty obvious that you weren't buying the real thing. Whereas now, unless you have them side by side, it's really hard to tell. And that's where I feel, you know, people complain about the prices of a classic football shirts or a cult kits, but they are playing a role in a service in terms of authentication. And so if you want to make sure that you're getting the real deal, then it's worth kind of going to those bigger companies for these vintage kits.
Yeah. What about predicting a future classic? So, for example, say you bought a Wrexham shirt 2 years ago, and then they finally do end up in the Premier League. Presumably that would be worth a lot of money. So is there a market for trying to predict future classics?
That's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, I do. So I've got a chapter on that in the book in terms of how I think you could maybe do that. From my experience, I think the size of the watching public's important. So some of those smaller clubs, we haven't really seen the older ones really jump in value. Now, that being said, if you think of Man City kits from the 90s and suddenly they've become this juggernaut that's winning the Premier League and the Champions League, then those are obviously have got a value. I think part of it is if you look at the data where the club hasn't had success for a long period of time and then suddenly they do, there's going to be a generation of kids and fans that have a real association with those kits. And so let's think Liverpool Premier League winning kit. Who knows, they might do it this season, but if it's a few more years before they do, then that's a kit that could potentially go up in value in future years as well.
Well, the reaction from the listeners we've had to this chat has been pretty immense. So maybe we should chat again, John, on a semi-regular basis and talk about the culture of kits. In the meantime, we wish you well with the book. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, it's a very nice book. Well done.
No, Thanks for having me on.
Culture of Kits, a definitive guide to classic football shirt collecting, is published by Pitch. It says a lovely sort of coffee table Christmas book, and it's beautifully illustrated, expensively put together, and yeah, an absolute cracker. And as I said, well, I think it's a subject we'll return to. So thanks for everybody who got in touch. We didn't get all the questions in, but say maybe we'll catch up with John again soon and put some of those questions to him. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. I bet our next guest had got a few old classic kits he probably wore and playing for Liverpool, Villa, England, etc. It's Dan Collymore, and he's going to be looking ahead to the weekend in a few moments.